Father, we're thankful for your goodness, mercy, and the love that you've showered upon us. Father, we pray for one of our families where there's health issues with their daughter. We just want to lift up Henry and Nancy to you and pray that, Lord, you'd bring a complete healing to Miriam, that they'd be able to come as a family, attend the meetings, sit under the preaching of your word, Lord, and be blessed and ministered to. Father, and I do pray that you would be with us this evening, as Brother David was praying, Lord, that you just have, you'd have your way, not ours, Lord. We're not interested in hearing from men. We've heard lots of good philosophies from men over the years. We just want to hear from your word, Lord. Want to know what you have to say. Want to walk in it. Pray that you give me a clear mind. Give me boldness in the Lord. Father, that I may speak as I ought to. And I also pray that you would open the ears of those that are here. Lord, that the ones that know you would be with me in prayer. And the ones that don't might come to know you. Might come to realize that we're not trying to be pushy. We just understand the battle. We understand the consequences. We know what's at stake. Father, so I just pray that you would use my lips this evening. Minister grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be doing a fair bit of scripture hopping, so feel free to just listen if you want, or if you've got your Bibles, I'll try to give you the references before I just go running into them. I'm going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1 this evening. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And if you're here this evening and you don't have a purpose in life, that is why you were created. And if you've not embraced Christ Jesus, that's why you can't find purpose and satisfaction and fulfillment in life, because mankind was created to the praise of his glory. That's what we are to be. He made us for him. He made us to worship, love, and adore the Creator. And he did it through Jesus Christ. He uses a word in there that is an absolutely beautiful word. And those that know Jesus have been adopted. We're once estranged. We're once homeless. We're once vagabonds. We're wretches. We're sinners. Caught up in all manner of selfish pleasures that brought no satisfaction, but only took them ever deeper into bondage, ever deeper into sin. You know, Satan has one goal in mind, and that is to drag you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into sin and the bondage and slavery that sin brings with it. That is his goal. He wants to get you dabbling in it, and then he wants to wrap you up in it. And ultimately, he wants you to be cast into hell with it. It's a frightful thing. If you talk to someone who's homeless, it's not really that pleasant. Some of them have a real sense of pride in their independence. If you talk to those in foster care, you'll find that one of the things that most foster children so desire is just to be wanted. They sit in foster care. They go from one foster home, and then they go to another foster home, and then they go to another foster home, all the while wondering, does nobody want me? Is there nobody that really wants me? I just don't feel like anybody really loves me. I don't feel like anybody really cares about me. And if that's you, there's a family that you can be a part of. There's a father that's willing to adopt you. There's a father that's willing to take you to be his own. And I was telling Maria last night, I'm not sure if I can articulate to you what God has been showing me as I've been meditating on this subject of adoption. I was in tears, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed at the thought that somehow I need to articulate to you what it means to be adopted into the family of God. What it means to have a place in Christ. What it means to have a security in Him that is not shaken. You know, I've grown up in a culture that primarily believes that you cannot know that you're a child of the Lord. You're just going to have to do your best, and when you get to eternity, you'll find out how you did. It's a fearful way to live. Now, praise God, I never really was under the influence of that teaching, because God in His mercy had them start a private school. When I was 11 when the school started, it was 1989. And the Lord sent a man all the way from Texas who was a born-again believer in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I sat under his ministry for 4 years. And that's where I got saved. In the fourth year of having him as my teacher, the Lord found me and adopted me. And I want to tell you that adoption is open. It's open for whosoever will. We don't need to feel uncared for, unloved. It's a miserable way to live. And you know, when I look at my life, as Brother David was saying last night, I didn't deserve to be adopted. It's not that I was so good. It's not that I had all these credentials that I could bring to the kingdom of God. God enables those that He calls. He doesn't need us to be loaded with giftings. He can give us everything that we need. It all comes from Him. What He's looking for from us is a willing heart. A heart that's willing to be part of the family. A heart that's willing to say, Lord, I'll go Your way. I don't need to go my way. And you know, He's adopted us as a child by Christ Jesus unto Himself. And He said it was according to the good pleasure of His will. And when families want to adopt, who gets to say whether they get adopted? It's the parents. The parents give the final say that I want to adopt this child. I want to bring this child into my home. And the Lord Jesus, we've heard a lot about the preaching of the gospel this week, about how Christ Jesus came, paid the penalty for our sins by His own blood. And the Lord has predestinated. God the Father, in His wisdom, predestinated that anybody who comes to Him would come to Him by Jesus Christ. Not of their own will, not of their own way, but through Him. That's how we come. But what is so beautiful to me is that that door is open for anybody to come and be a part of that family if only we will come through Jesus Christ. Jesus goes so far as to say that if you try to get in any other way, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. You'll be cast out. You don't get your wedding garment climbing over a wall. You get it when you come in at the gate. And I thought it was interesting that as children live in foster homes, I did a little bit of research. What children go through in a foster home. And there's always this insecurity. You know, there can be a tremendous fear when they get placed into another home because they have no idea what this new home is going to be like. And they might be there for a few months. They might be there for a year. They might be there for a few years. But ultimately, there's an uncertainty in their heart because they don't know. Is this my home? Do I belong here? God has put a desire within us to belong. And it is something that I had growing up. I knew that my father wanted me. You know, we heard about David and going through the agony of knowing that his parents didn't want him. But in my home, it wasn't like that. I grew up in a home where I knew that I was wanted. I knew that I was loved. I wanted to be there. It was home. When curfew time came at 10 o'clock Sunday evening, I knew where I was going to be. And sometimes I had to push the speed limit to get there in time because my father, he had what we call the look. And if you dare to come in after 10 o'clock, I have a sister here that will testify. 5 minutes after 10, mercy had run out. There was no mercy. It was a rod of iron. 10 o'clock. And I've thanked my parents for that more than once. I have no idea what kind of trouble that kept me out of. But it was security. You know that? Yeah, there's times we chafed at it. We would have, you know, you want to fight for a little bit of wiggle room. But do you know what? I had a father who loved me and cared for me. And he wanted to know that Sunday evening at 10 o'clock, my children are in the house. They are safe. They are where I need them to be at 10 o'clock Sunday evening. And I was secure there. I was secure in my father's love. And you know, I found such a tremendous parallel between a foster home and the way many Christians live their life. Foster children have such a tendency that, you know, they know that if they're going to perform very badly, they're going to get kicked out of that foster home, and who knows where they're going to end up. You know, the next month might be even worse. But you know, God does not have us in foster care. There's a longing within the heart of foster children. You know what that longing is? That longing is to be adopted. They long to be adopted. They want a home. They want a place where they can go to, where they know that this is home. God, the Father, is the best Father that there ever was. And He's open for adoptions this evening. He's a lovely Father. His love is so secure. I know that even if I mess up, He's not just going to kick me out. You picture it this way. If God commended His love toward me while I was living in sin, how much more now as His child is He not going to love and care for me as His own? You can rest in His love. It's a secure place to live. We don't have to live like foster children who have to live in fear that if I misstep here or I misstep there, God's going to kick me out. But so many Christians live that way. They live in fear and terror that if I sin, God's going to cut me off. My salvation is going to be lost. And you know what I've found in God the Father? He never excuses sin. He never said it was okay. But He always guides. Because He's adopted us. He's adopted us as His own. And if He loved me when I was in my sin and was willing to come after me and draw me to Himself, how much more now as His child, when I want to love Him, I want to serve Him, I want to do His will, and I find there's times where I struggle and I'm not sure, which way is it, Lord? Which way do I go? I don't need to be afraid that God's going to cut me off if I make a wrong move. He loves me. He's going to guide me. Every step, He's going to guide us. He has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for His children. Every good parent has a purpose for their children. I don't just get up in the morning and let my children run haywire all day long and do whatever they want. No good parent does that. Neither does God. He said that we are to the praise of His glory. That's why we're here. We want our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus. That the things that we do magnify the name of Jesus Christ. That's the family we've been adopted into. That's the purpose that the Father has for His children. If you want, you can turn with me to the book of Galatians. In chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. I'm sorry, I don't have time to read all the context. You can feel free to go home and do that. There's a lot of beautiful scripture here. But it says in Galatians 4:4 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And understand this evening that the context of Scripture speaks to men. He's talking to women too. It's all right to interject daughters if you're a lady and you're sitting here this evening. To redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Have you ever found yourself under the law? You're trying to do good. You try and you try and you try. But you can't. There's just nothing there. You find yourself falling over and over and over and over again. I have good news for you. God the Father is adopting children this evening. He didn't shut the door yet. It's not 10 o'clock yet. The door is still open. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And I don't know how many times I've cried out in my heart, Father, please guide me. Please give me direction. There's a parallel to this passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've heard about fear this week, haven't we? As brethren share their testimonies, they talk about fear. Fear of going to bed. Fear of dying and ending up in hell. Fear hath torment. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And there was a day in my life where I had no doubt anymore that I was a child of the Lord. You know, it came that day when I cried out to Him. It came the day when the revelation hit me full force that I was going to go to hell. That revelation hit me full in the face. And I wept and I began to plead and beg God for mercy. And as I wept, the Lord came to me. You know, and I came with my guards down. I laid down my conditions. I didn't come to him and I say, Lord, I need you as my father. I didn't know a lot of the things I know today. I didn't come to him and say, I want to be your son. I want you to be my father. I want you to adopt me into your family. I want to do your will, Lord. I want to be your child. Would you please have me? I didn't come with conditions. I came like that. There was no conditions. The Lord says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. I had no conditions when I came to the Lord that night. I didn't say, Lord, you know, I'm coming to you, and I want you to forgive me, and I want to be a part of your family. But Lord, oh my, I love country music. Please don't make me give it up. I love baseball, Lord, and I want to keep on playing it. You know what? When God breaks your heart, you just don't care. When you come to a place where you realize that I'm bound for hell, and there is only one escape, and that is to get into God's family. Because I tell you, there's a day coming when God the Father is going to send His Son, and He's going to come back to earth, and He's going to get all His children. He's going to open up the graves, and He's going to get every last one of His children, and He's going to take them to glory with Him. And so if you think I'm being pushy, please, I just understand the consequences of not following Him. I'm not trying to push. I just know the cost of not coming. I want you to be there. I want everyone in this tent to be there and share in the joy when the Lord Jesus Christ has all His children around Him. When all together we come before God and we bow before Him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see God and we see Jesus. I want everyone there. I want to see everybody there. It'd be a grief to see one missing because they enjoyed the foster home too much. Because they got to do everything they wanted. But at the end of the day, there was still no satisfaction. We come to Christ and we come without conditions. And we stay in Christ without conditions. And that's why Christians sing such radical songs like, "Where He leads me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so." That's why you go where He calls you. Not where He wants you to go. I tell you, I remember one time I wanted to go to New York for a weekend. There was a lovely church family there and we enjoyed being with them. And I wanted to go. But in my heart of hearts, you know that scripture we read where it says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God? Well, in that secret place of the heart, God's Spirit was communing with me. And saying, "Son, I don't want you to go. But I wanted to go." And so we went. You know what? I had a miserable weekend. I was in New York, but oh, it was miserable. Because in my heart, I knew this is not where God wants me. God wanted me here at home. And who knows what opportunity I missed at home? God knows. That's why it's important that this Spirit that He's given to us, that as His children, we learn to listen. God the Father has a reason why He whispers in our heart. You in your heart know when God wants you to do something. And there's times where maybe we're not sure, but God's a patient teacher. He's a very patient teacher. But I want you to notice something in this letter that he wrote to the Galatians. He says in verse 6 that God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And you know, the thing that happens is so many people, they want to perform, to prove to God how sincere they are. Just like David. I've been dry for a month. I'm doing pretty good. I'm one of those good Mennonites. Because I don't drink. You know what? This is what God says. Son, daughter, when I adopted you into my family, I did not adopt you to a life of performance. You're my son. I love you. And that's a good thing. Because I've done a lot of stumbling around in my Christian life. I sure am glad that heaven's not based on how good I've performed. I'd have a mighty slim chance of getting in. And some people are going to think that I'm against Christians doing good works. I'm not. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm just talking about the foundation upon which we come to the Lord and the foundation in which we live. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and become a part of His family. And you didn't do anything upon that cross when Jesus hung there. You didn't do anything to pay for your sins. Shame on you if you think you can do works that were better than what Jesus did. Because He hung on that cross, and before He breathed His last, He said, "It is finished." He finished the work. He finished the work. He's waiting to know if you'll believe Him. You can keep trying to work it out on your own. But Paul already, he's trying to save us time, you know. And so he tells us that it is not of works, lest any man should boast. He comes and tells us that if righteousness were by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He tells us a lot of those things. We come to the Lord as we are. No reservations. Lord, I want to be your child. Here I am. I want to be part of your family. That's how we come. That is a foundation in which you can rest and in which you can be secure. And even if you trip up, you don't need to wonder, am I still His child? You need to be secure and rest in Him. God knows your heart. God knows if you want to be His child and walk in His ways, or whether you're just a rebel at heart, just straining at the bit to do your own thing. God knows. You can't fool Him. We can put on nice facades on the outside, but God knows what goes on in the heart. God knows that if we failed and we're grieved in our hearts, He's a patient teacher. You know, the one that said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, if you want a picture as a God as a father, let's take a practical example. How many fathers are in the room? When your firstborn came into the world, they had nothing to do with it, did they? But you waited. The day came where you knew that you were expecting a child. And you waited. And you waited. And you anticipated the coming of this child. And when this child gave its first cry, your heart rejoiced. Your heart sang with joy. And still the child had nothing to do with it. But you know what? It didn't argue either, did it? But it sure did complain. Oh, it started whining and crying almost right from the go. I'm hungry. I'm tired. My stomach hurts. It's 3 a.m. I can't sleep. Ah, ah. You know, there was a time, that's when God taught me patience. I'm still learning patience on different levels. But I think sometimes my patience level goes this way, and then it goes backwards a bit, and then the Lord brings it forward, and then it goes backward. But You know, God has used my children at that age tremendously to teach me patience. Totally oblivious to them. They had no idea. But you know what? I loved them. I accepted them. We nurtured them. And they grew. And they grew. And they grew. And as they get older, sure, we expect more from them, don't we? We expect them to mature and to grow up and to be strong. God expects the same thing from us. And when we come to Him, if we stumble around for a while, and you know, we're groping around trying to find our way, don't be afraid that God's standing there with a big stick waiting to just cut you off and knock you out of the house. He's not. He's there with a loving hand to guide you. And you can be assured, we'll get there yet, actually. I shouldn't run ahead of myself. Turn with me. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm bad at following notes. Very bad. Yeah, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. You know, when we came to the Lord, He had no expectations on us. And as a child of the Lord, He still has no expectations on us for us to earn our salvation, for us to stay saved. A man once made an incredulous statement. Now, you theological minds, you better tune in. He said, I am justified by my sanctification. You ponder on that one for a while. Just chew that one down. You know what it means to be sanctified, right? You're becoming more like the Lord. You're sanctified. You do better than you used to do. This is what he meant. And so he figured that's what justified him. So we came by faith, and in essence what he was saying is, I was saved by the blood of Jesus, and now I'm doing a lot of good works to keep me saved in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, but Paul condemned that theology thoroughly in the book of Galatians. That theology has no place in the kingdom of God. We want to look at the proper theology of God and His family this evening. But that is totally wrong. Paul says, having begun in the Spirit, are ye made perfect by the flesh? Paul is just terror struck. How could you think such a thing? When the Lord Jesus said that your salvation was finished, that He paid the price, and you are now going to go and add to it to stay saved? No, you're my son. And you know what? Here's what happens. I'll tell you what happens. You come to the Lord, right? You've got all your armors down. You've got no reserves within yourself. I want to be saved, but I want to hang on to this and this and this and this. I still want to keep doing these. Tell me, if you had to give all those things up, are you still willing to come to the Lord? Because God's not looking for people that come with a bunch of their own things they want to hang on to. That's not how you come to the Lord. And we'll get to the reason why a little later. But here's what happens. Children come into the world, and they're born, and you know what? At first, it's, you know, they may be miserable sometimes, but there's also a lot of giggles and laughs and smiles, and, you know, and everybody just enjoys a little baby. But then there comes a time when you're holding them on your lap, and they want to get down, and you want them to sit. And they want to get down and you want them to sit. We know the routine, right? And all of a sudden there's a conflict of wills that happens. You're like, no, you're going to sit here. And my children, they all find out that I'm more stubborn than they are because I just simply won't have it. God only made one leader in the home and by default it fell on me. So I just can't relinquish that to a one-year-old. Like there's just something within me that just will not allow it. And do you think God's any different? You think so? We get born again, right? That's what we call it. That's what John chapter 3 calls it. Born again. born of the Spirit into the family of God. That's what happens when we come to Jesus and we say, I know I'm a sinner and I want to be your child. Would you please have me? You know, and we come and He takes us. But as we get a little older, you know, we start getting comfortable in the family, right? We are very secure in the family. Then all of a sudden we start thinking that we can get away with things, right? So we start exercising some elbow space. And we start exercising our muscles and stretching for some room because I've got a will too. And the Father is holding us on His lap saying, it's time to sit, son. Oh, no. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other thing. And the Lord says, no, you're going to sit right here. Just relax. Just relax. Just trust me. Once I want you to do something, I'll tell you. But you just rest. You're running on your own. You know, you're running on your own horsepower here. Just calm down. That's what the Lord does. Sometimes He uses a rod too, and that hurts. One of the rods He uses, you know what it's called? It's called guilt. I'm not sure how you found it. I found that when I've exercised my will, I've elbowed my way around. All of a sudden, I find myself with a very guilty conscience and I can't look God in the face anymore. I'm like, Lord, I don't want this. I really don't want it like this. I want to have a good relationship with You. Well, son, what you're doing is contrary to me. So you can't do that and be part of my family. Like, you need to stop. And so He uses guilt as a means of discipline. And in chapter 5 of Hebrews, verses 12 through 14, it says, well, actually, this was in terms of us growing up. We're going to move along. I passed that point already. Let's go over to chapter 12. And we'll read chapter 12, verse 1, and reading. I want you to listen very carefully in terms of a family relationship. How does God's family work? How does God operate in the life of His children as a father? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. But furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, and live? Good question. For they verily, these earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. This is how God deals with His children. Remember that first passage we read, that God created us to be to the praise of His glory. So there's a purpose. There's direction in God's family. It's not every man just running off and doing everything they want to do. We are under the discipleship of the Father. And He chastises us when we do wrong. He chastens us so that we might be partakers of His holiness. God desires this for His children. He wants us to be partakers of His holiness. And we can be secure in that. My children find tremendous security in knowing that they can't just do whatever they want. I mean, how many of you have ever had to exercise your authority in the home as fathers or as mothers, and you find that your children are drawn closer to you after than they were before. I find it that way because God has put security within us. And when we are chastened of the Lord, when we've done wrong, it is to me one of the loud symbols that God loves me. Not that He was okay with what I did. That's why He disciplined me for it. He wants me to learn to not do that. But He loves me. And He goes on and He says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So if you feel like you're under the Father's discipline as His child this evening, be comforted. Be comforted. Get up. Don't sit there and wallow in self-pity lest the Lord have to discipline you yet again for that. You know, if I want to discipline one of my children and they want to get down and have a pity party and throw a fit, that just tells me that we're not done yet. I want their heart. I don't just want the outward actions. I want their heart. I want to know that my child is doing what I asked them to. Not because they're begrudgingly and they have to, but because we're a family. And as a family, we pull together. We have a job to do, and we're going to pull together as one unit, and we're going to get the job done. And that's what God wants in His family, where every member does what the Father bids them do. And you know, just because we don't do any works to save us or stay saved, doesn't mean that God doesn't expect anything from us. The older my children get, the more I expect from them. And that's where we were going in Hebrews chapter 5, that God expects things from us. He says, what time you ought to be teachers? You have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is what God wants from His children. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to be mature men and women, able to discern between good and evil, able to walk in righteousness and in holiness. God desires this for His children. He's not left us without instruction. God expects obedient children. He wouldn't be a good father if He didn't. But you know what? We're in this family by choice. We're in this family by choice. There is nowhere in Scripture that I have found that God is going to force someone to follow Him, where God's going to force someone to do His will. There's nowhere in Scripture that I've found that once you're saved, there's no way you could ever walk away. I've not found such truths in Scriptures. What I have found is this, and we're going to look at just a few. In Romans 9, verse 4, he's talking to the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. That's who the adoption pertaineth to. But then if you turn over with me to chapter 11 of Romans, and we're going to read in verse 11, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? You see that? The adoption pertained to the Israelites. And you remember how Paul said he would go into a city and he would address the Jews. And then they would reject him. And he would say, well, if you all listen, we're turning to the Gentiles. And so faith has come to the Gentile people also. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. And so Paul says, I am preaching the gospel to you Gentiles. and you're embracing the message of Jesus Christ, and he's changing your lives because you're obeying him and you're walking in his ways. Your lives are being changed. And he says, and I'm going to continue preaching to you. Maybe we can make the Israelites jealous, and some of them will get saved too. That's what Paul's saying. For if the casting away of them, the Israelites, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, speaking to Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. So some of the branches, through unbelief, were broken off because they would not listen to the message that their Messiah had come. And the Lord took the Gentiles and he grafted them into the root, Christ Jesus. He grafted us in. And he says, and if you're grafted in, well, he says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. But fear. I don't find this message of eternal security in Scripture, that you can pray a prayer, and then after that you can go and do whatever sin you want, and you're still going to go to heaven when you die. That is a fallacy of the devil. It is not found in the pages of Scripture. What is found in the pages of Scripture is that the Lord is nigh unto them who are of a broken and a contrite heart. They that are of a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. And if you want the will of God and you're walking in his ways and you desire to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, there is no way under the sun that God is going to cut you off. You can rest secure in that love. But it is not for us to be high-minded and think, now I can do what I want. Wait a minute. You're not your own man. Remember, God is the Father. There is only one Papa in our house. And if anybody tries to usurp that authority, they're going to have me to answer to. And you know what? When we go to someone else's home, and there's different families, they operate differently, and we've gone to homes already, and the father in that home knows that I do things differently in my home. And he wants to just hand it over to me and let me take charge because he's feeling insecure. You know what? I refuse to do it. I just gently hand the ball back to him and say, brother, we are in your home. And in your home, we do things your way. You know, we have this little family tradition. We sit down around the table and we hold hands. And we bow our heads, and one of us will ask a blessing on the food. We go to other homes, and if they know that that's how we do things, then they would like for me to just sometimes take over and do that there too. No. No, I say, you know, I fold my hands because I know that's how they do. And then I bow my head, and we have a silent prayer because I know that's how they do in their home. And I'm not going to override any other Papa's authority in his own home. And there is no way that God the Father is going to let anybody override his authority in his own home. We're there by choice. We don't have to be part of his family. But I tell you that everybody who is not a part of his family will be damned to hell at some point in life. They will die. And they will feel the searing pangs of hell. It is for all those who refuse to believe. It's for all those who refused. When God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the earth, and Jesus Christ walked the earth, and he paid the penalty for our sins, and he ascended back to the Father after he was crucified. And you know, he couldn't stay dead because death is the penalty for sin. And the Lord Jesus never sinned. And so death had nothing on him. And so he rose again the third day to fulfill the words of Scripture. And God the Father is going to send Jesus Christ And Jesus is going to come and he's going to gather together all those that have accepted his payment for sin. All those who have been willing to forsake their life of sin, come into the Father's house, will be saved. Will be saved. But it is not for us to walk and be high-minded. Paul told the Romans, he said, listen, be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. That's what Scripture has to say. But for those that bow their knee to Jesus, are willing to walk with him, willing to have God as their Father, willing to embrace the sacrifice that Jesus made for their sins, and stop trying to do enough good works to pay for their own sins, but just accept that Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, and we leave all our sin behind us, and we walk forward as a new creature in the family of God. God's door is open, willing to adopt whosoever will. So my question is, would you like to be adopted? Do you sit here this evening and you know that you've not been adopted yet? You still feel lonely? You still feel shut out? You still feel like you're not part of the family? You see other people happy, but in your heart of hearts, you know that you're miserable. You can try to put on a smile, but you know that it doesn't reach your heart. Listen, if you want to be adopted, God is still adopting children. He's not done yet. His heart is still wide open to whosoever will. He said, whosoever will may come. He predestined a way, the Lord Jesus. And listen to this invitation. In Matthew 11, come unto me, the Lord Jesus says, come. Come unto me, and be ye saved. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. And again, I want you to understand, Christians aren't trying to be pushy. But do you know that when someone has found something really, really precious, it's impossible to not talk about it? You can't help it. Oh, how well the songwriter said, I speak for I cannot be silent. And if we would be silent, the rocks would cry out. So the question is your heart not resting? Are you finding unrest in that heart of yours where you know that there's not peace? God is still adopting tonight. The invitation from Jesus stands open. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You know, when people try so hard, they try so hard to do a lot of good things. And I dare say, to the shame of many a Christian, a lot of them do better than some Christians do because they're trying so hard to do so many good things. But it still isn't working. It's still not restful. You're still not resting in Him. Jesus says, come. I believe it's in Isaiah where He says, come unto me, or look unto me, and be ye saved. It's not so hard to get saved. It's not so hard to become a child of the King. God the Father, in His infinite wisdom, has made it a very simple thing. And he said, are you willing to leave foster care? Are you willing to leave your life as a homeless vagabond? Are you willing to come into my home? Are you willing to abide under my roof? You can come in. You can come in. And you will find love and security like you have never known. You will find a rest that you did not know existed. I know it's so. I know it's so. I know what it was like when I came to the Lord. And I found a joy that I didn't know there was possible. And His door is still open. God the Father is still standing at the door. He's still standing there. And He says, come in. You can come in and you can live in my home. And you'll have family. You'll have every child of God. You'll have every born-again believer for your brother and for your sister. You need never be lonely again. You'll have fellowship with God the Father, with His Son Jesus Christ. He'll give you His Spirit to guide you through this life. He'll give you brothers and sisters. You'll have fellowship so sweet you didn't know it was possible. This is God's family. And those of us sitting here, we're just part of that family. It's a big family. It's a big family. I know people in so many different denominations. And here and there you find them. And you start talking to them. And within about 5 minutes, your hearts go like this. Because you know there's another one. There's another one. I know that God is His Father because I see the Father's training written all over Him. I know it because I know how the Father's been training me. I know what He's been teaching me. And I'm seeing the same evidence in Him. I feel the same Spirit. The Father still has His door open. Listen yet to the words of Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus says these words. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I want to let you in on a secret this evening. If there's a longing in your heart to be free from your sin. If there's a longing in your heart to come into God's house and be His son, to be His daughter, the Father, in His grace and mercy, is drawing you. That is the pull. That is the pull of God, drawing you to Himself. Don't shut it out. Don't shut Him away. Don't let anything or anyone distract you. Come. I'm not speaking tonight for my own benefit. I am His child. I'm speaking for the benefit of those that don't know Him yet. And in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so if you would, if your heart says, I want to, then you can come to Jesus tonight. You can lay your burden down tonight and have peace. There's a song that talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you realize that's not just a song? That's not just words. Somebody experienced that and they wrote it down. Those words were penned by a person who had come and laid his burden down at the feet of Jesus They were penned by a person who in his heart of hearts, I don't know how they said it, I don't know what the words were they used, but they came. And in brokenness, realizing their own need, said, Father, I'm such a wicked, miserable wretch. But would you have me? I don't need to be anything special in your kingdom, Lord. I don't need to sit at the head of the table with you. I'd be happy to just come in and sleep by the door. Can I please come into your house? I want to be adopted. I'm tired of this unrest in my heart. I want to have peace with you. If those are the whisperings of your heart, then I invite you this evening, come to Jesus. You come to Jesus. And if you want to come, but you don't know how, then you come and you kneel up here. And one of the brothers or a couple of the brothers will come and we'll pray with you. We'll point you to some other scriptures that I don't have time to go into this evening. And we'll show you some other scriptures and give you further direction if you're not sure what to do, but you know that you need to settle your heart with God tonight. We can have a word of prayer. Now we'll sing a song in closing. And at any time during prayer, during the song, I know that often after the meeting is dismissed, the chatter picks up and the conviction in your heart just kind of dies away. I don't want that to happen if the Lord's whispering in your heart this evening. If you want to be adopted, then as I pray, or as Lester comes up here and leads a song, you just come and kneel up here and somebody will come and help you. My only desire is to point you to Jesus. I'm not here trying to build a church. But I know the peace that came when I bowed my heart before Jesus, and I desire it for everyone. So let's pray. Father, there have been so many things said through the course of these meetings. And you said your word. It's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Lord, and some of us over the years, we've learned to harden our hearts as the word of God is preached. We've oft heard words. We've oft heard the gospel message. But somehow we've learned to dull our ears to it. But as we've sat here, Father, your word has been like a hammer. Father, and I don't know who's here tonight, whose heart is pounding within them knowing that they're not right with you. But Lord, we just want to labor together with you to point them to you. Lord, to be adopted by a father that loves and brings a security like no earthly parent ever can. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to lift up your word again this evening, to lift up Jesus. Father, be with every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. After the song, we'll all be dismissed.